Begin the current daf mitzvah, the sukkah daf chav dalet. Begin four lines down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion with the previous daf. And that is, we had a machlekes between Abaye and Reb Zeira regarding a machlekes between Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda regarding if one's allowed to use an animal as a wall for the sukkah. Reb Meir says you're not allowed to, and Reb Yehuda says you're allowed to. Now, Abaye's interpretation was that Reb Meir's concern that chashin lamisa, we're concerned the animal's going to die, it's going to collapse, therefore you're not going to have any more wall because it's going to collapse lower than 10 tefachim high. Therefore, such an animal for a wall for a sukkah would be invalid, versus Rebbe Yehuda's not concerned that it's going to die. Hence, you can use the animal as a wall for the sukkah. There's no problem. What's wrong with the fact that it's an animal? Now, on that, the Gemara asked that Abaye seems to be saying that in that machloekes Rameh and Yehuda, Rameh is the one that is concerned for death and Rebbe Yehuda's not. But the Gemara has a contradiction in Abaye himself. That Abaye resolved a contradiction in a Mishnah Masechtas Gittin and a Braisa regarding if we're concerned that a husband that's a Kohen and his wife that's a daughter of a non-Kohen, if he's going to die or not, in regards to does she have to be concerned he's going to die and hence not be able to eat Truma or not. On that, Abaye resolved. He says, oh, it's not a difficulty because the Mishnah that says that we're not concerned is going like Reb Meir. The Braisa says that we are concerned is going like Reb Yehuda, as we see in a different Braisa, which says that the similar machlek is that they take those sides, Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda, regarding if someone purchases wine from a kuti, and that is Reb Meir is not concerned that the bag is going to burst and that the wine that you drank would be considered tevel, because you're going to ultimately do Breyer, which is retroactively clarifying that what you drank was the chulin part and the rest that you didn't drink is the truma and the maisis part. For Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yisrael and Rabbi Shimon together with them, they say that it's forbidden to do that. If you don't have a kelim to put in, or if you don't have time, you're not allowed to do that, because if it's going to burst, it's going to come out that you never yet took it off the trumas of maisis to say retroactive clarification that of Breyer, and hence it comes out that you drank tevel, which... Therefore, you see that Rabbi Yehuda is the one that is concerned for bursting. Hence, Abaye says that he's the Braisa that says that we're concerned for death, versus the Mishnah Masechtas Gittin that says that we're not concerned for death. That's Reb Meir, as we find that he's not concerned for the bursting of the wine flask. Now, that Abaye's resolution contradicts Abaye's interpretation of Reb Meir regarding the Braisa on Chav Gimel Amud Aleph, which there he says Reb Meir is concerned for death, and then later on he says in resolution of that Mishnah Masechtas Gittin and the Braisa that Reb Meir is the one that's not concerned for death. Which the Gemara on the top of this Amid explained that, you're right, it's the reverse. That it's, as we had said, Abaye's interpretation of Reb Meir for the wall Masechtas in for the halachas of sukkah, that he is concerned that it's going to die, and that's why you can't use an animal for a sukkah. And therefore, the resolution of the Mishnah Masechtas Gittin and the Braisa is the reverse. Reb Meir is the Braisa that says we're concerned it's going to die, and therefore, he's the same as regarding that you can't use an animal for a sukkah wall. Versus Rabbi Yehuda is the one that's not concerned for death, and therefore he's like the Mishnah Masechtas Gittin that says that we're not concerned, and therefore the wife who has her husband go to Medina Siam, faraway trip, can assume that he's still alive and are not concerned that he died. Now, that's all fine and well in resolving Abaye. But our Gemara continues and asks, so we said that the way we're explaining now is Rabbi Meir is concerned for death and Rabbi Yehuda is not. But in the first version that we had Abaye's resolution for that Mishnah Masechtas Gittin in the Braisa, there was quoted a Braisa that illustrated that idea. That Reb Meir was the one that was not concerned, which we're changing, we're showing, no, he is the one that's concerned for death. But that Braisa says clearly that Reb Meir is not concerned for the bursting of the flask, and Reb Yehuda is. So hence the Gemara asks, Kasha Reb Meir, we have a contradiction of Reb Meir regarding the bursting of the flasks, where we see that he's not concerned that it's going to burst. Ad Reb Meir, that contradicts Reb Meir regarding the walls of the sukkah, where he is concerned that the animal is going to die. In other words, are we concerned for something expiring, something just... losing it, and that is, we see that it's not concerned just a flask going to burst. It could happen, but it's something we're not concerned about. So why is it any different that when we say by the wall of the sukkah that we say you cannot use an animal, as we're now explaining that he's the same as that the Tana in the Mishnah Masechtas Gittin that he's not concerned someone's going to die? Why not? Why is it any different than the flask bursting, which is also not so common? So Machar Meir would tell you that's not a problem because Misa Shchicha, death. At least according to the interpretation of Abaye that we're going in contrast to Reb Zeira's interpretation, who he was not concerned with death. But Abaye says that Reb Meir held that death is something that's somewhat common, it could happen. But Bekiyas HaNoid L'Shchicha, the bursting of a wine flask is not common. In other words, you could totally avoid that situation that you're going to be retroactively drinking Tevel because you never ended up having Breyer by taking off Trumas HaMaisa if it bursts. Because Efshad the Masalei L'Shamah, you can give it over to a watchman who can make sure to take precautions. He'll have something under it that you will not lose that wine. And therefore, there's no reason to suspect that's going to happen. And therefore, he allows one to do that by saying this part should be truma, this should be meister, and you could drink it even though you didn't take it off and separate it at that time. So that resolves Reb Meir. Again, this is still the resolution of Abaya, that Abaya holds that Reb Meir is concerned for these things, versus by that case of Bekiyas Hanoid, that he's not concerned for, because there you can avoid it in all situations by having a Shomer. But then the Gemara asks, but Kasha de Behuda, but we have the contradiction of Reb Yehuda, where on the one end, he is concerned for the bursting of the wine flask, as that Brisa says, and therefore he argues in Reb Meir, said you can't do that. But that contradicts what Reb Yehuda said regarding the sukkah wall, that he's not concerned the animal is going to die. Why would he be concerned for the bursting of a wine flask, but he wouldn't be concerned for the animal or for the person dying? So that the Gemara answers, time to Reb Yehuda. Truth is, the reason of Reb Yehuda, when he argues under Reb Meir regarding this process of when you buy wine from the kutum to say designating different parts that's inside, and he says you're not allowed to do that if you're not separating into another kli, is la mishum the chayish lebekiyas hanoid. It's not because he's concerned that the wine flask is going to burst, and then it comes out that you never yet took off and you drank tevel. Because he's not concerned with these things, as he's not concerned for the animal dying, and therefore he holds it could be a kasher sukkah wall. He's not concerned for the woman that's married to the kohen that goes away from Medina Sayyam. Et mishum, the reason why he argues under Meir is because de les lebrere. He doesn't hold to the whole concept of retroactive clarification, and therefore even if the flask doesn't burst, he says it's still aser because you're drinking from something that's mixed together. You might be drinking from the truma pot, maybe from the chum pot, we don't know. And the fact that later on you say, oh, that was what it was, we don't say that. He doesn't hold to the concept of yesh brere. And therefore it's not a problem. He's not concerned with all these things. And this is not a case of a concern that he says us, it's just because to say retroactive clarification, he holds that doesn't work. Now, the Gemara asks on that, is it true, is it really true that you're saying that Reb Yehuda is not concerned for things. He's not concerned for these things of an animal to die, like he holds by the sukkah wall. And he's not concerned for the bursting of the wine flask. The only reason why he argues is because he doesn't hold the brera. But the Gemara asks, well, Vamadik Tani Sefer, but if one looks at the Sefer of that brisa, the brisa continues by saying, Amru Leila Reb Meir, Reb Yehuda, Reb Yisri, Reb Shimon, who will argue in Reb Meir and hold that it's usr, versus Reb Meir held that it's mutter, they tell him, Iyatam Leida Shem Yibaka Anoid, don't you agree that maybe the flask is going to burst? V'nim Tzizeh Shreisi Tvam L'mafrei, it comes out that retroactively this person was drinking tevel along, because you never ended up taking off the Trumas of Maisus to say that you had been drinking chulin. And Reb Meir responds to them, Lishibaka, when it bursts, then we'll try to figure out what's going on. In other words, we're not concerned. You're right. If that would happen, that would be a problem. But we're not concerned for such a thing, and therefore you're allowed to go ahead and do this. And even though only after Shabbos you can end up taking off the Trumas and Isis. Now, but the Gemara says, Machla, but what could be inferred from their statements to Reb Meir is the Chai Shabihud Lebkis tonight. Obviously, the Reb Yehuda is concerned about it, and that's what they were telling Reb Meir. That's why it should be Aster. But we just said that he's not concerned for that. I think Gemara says no. The Hasr may be Huda come to Reb Meir. That was just what Reb Yehuda was telling to Reb Meir. In other words, Reb Yehuda was telling to Reb Meir, Lidi di Lesli Brer. According to me, forget about it. There's nothing to talk about. You can't do this halachic process that you're talking about because I don't hold to this retroactive clarification. But El Didacht Yesh Brer, but what they were telling him was, but according to you, we understand. So you hold that retroactively it will work. However, but aren't you concerned for a different thing? Don't you agree to Shem Yibak Anoid? Maybe the one fly is going to burst and it's going to come out that you never have retroactive clarification because you never end up taking it off, and that means you were drinking tevel. Amalei lishibaka. And that's what Reb Meir responds. He says, when it bursts, then we'll figure out, but it's not something we have to be concerned about. But it doesn't reflect on that was Reb Yehuda's opinion. It's just that he was telling that at least be concerned for that, but Reb Yehuda's not concerned for that. It's just that his concern was that he doesn't hold a Yesh Breir. Now the Gemara still asks, now, v'lechai Reb Yehuda lemisa, so is it true that Reb Yehuda is not concerned for death? And that is, like Abaya said, Abaya explained that the Machlekes have made Reb Yehuda regarding using an animal as a wall for a sukkah, not like Reb Zeir, that if it's going to run away, his concern what if it's going to die, hence that means Reb Meir is concerned with that, and Reb Yehuda is not concerned for death. And that similarly, we explained that that's the Mishnah Masechet that's getting to, is like Reb Yehuda, that obviously he's the one that holds it, we're not concerned the husband's going to die. But Vatnam in the Mishnah Masechet Yuma, that seems to indicate Reb Yehuda is concerned for something like death, that we have to suspect that maybe that's going to happen. Where at the beginning of the Masechet there says, Reb Yehuda says, Af Isha Acheres Maskinin, we even prepare another wife for the Kohen Gadol, Erev Yom Kippur, in case Shema Tamas Ishtay, maybe his wife is going to die. Now, what's the concern if the Kohen Gadol's wife dies? It's because the Pasuk in the Yikra Tezayin says, that he has to, with his carbon, provide an atonement for himself and for his bias, which the Gemara there says, basically, his house is a reference to his wife. So therefore, he has to have a wife to provide atonement for. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says, if his wife's going to die, that's going to be a problem. So you have to have prepared beforehand an extra wife just in case. Now, the problem is that we see that Rabbi Yehuda is concerned for death, in this case, the wife of the Kohen Gadol, but yet we just finished saying Rabbi Yehuda is not concerned for death, and that's why he could have an animal as the wall of a sukkah. So the Gemara answers, no, that's not difficult over there in Masechtas Yuma, because Ha'itmar Allah, we already explained over there, to Amr of Hun Ibrahim of Yeshua, it's Maila Asu Bekapara. That was just an elevated status that we made for the atonement of the Yom Kippurim, that we did many milas where we were concerned for something which generally we're not concerned because it's Yom Kippur, it's a one-time thing, it's a big thing, so therefore we're concerned, but generally we would not be concerned. That was just a special mila we made for Yom Kippurim. Now the Gemara asks, on all opinions, Bein Lamando Amar, whether according to the explanation of Abaya, where he explained the reason of her mayor was because Shema Tamos, that you cannot use an animal as a wall for a sukkah because maybe the animal is going to die, and therefore you're not going to have a height of 10 tefachim, it's not going to be a wall anymore on sukkahs. O Bein Lamando, but whether according to the opinion of Reb Zera, who he said the explanation of her mayor was that you can't use an animal with Shema Tivach, maybe the animal is going to run away. So fine, these are obviously concerns. But what comes out is, obviously, biblically, they're saying that an animal would be considered a valid partition, a valid wall for a sukkah. But Rabbanu hu degrazer, but it's obviously just rabbinic that Rabbanu were, they made a decree, says, look, you can't use it, even though biblically it is, because if an animal is going to die or it's going to run away, according to their appropriate opinions, then you're going to be left without a wall. Now, on that, the Gemara's question is, so that worked very well for the case of sukkah, which that Brisa discusses, or for Alechia in the Mavoi, or the pasim, the boards for the birayis, where a mayor, it comes out as a stringency, and that makes sense, because even though biblically it would be okay, but the Rabbanu were concerned. However, elamiata, but if that's the case, one of the cases were the case of goylel, and that is a mayor, titami mishum goylel. According to a mayor, an animal should be able to contract tumah in its function as a cover for a coffin. Now, because that, what comes out is that, comes out if Remeir would consider the animal not a machitza, in other words, it would not be considered the cover of a coffin, then it would come out that he's being lenient. But the problem is, if biblically you say that it is a machitza, it would be a cover of a coffin, so then how could he say it's not going to become tamei because of the tumah of a goylel, if essentially, biblically it is. You could be machmer rabbinically, but to be lenient, based on the concern, what does that mean? Maybe it's going to shrivel up and it's not going to be a mechitza, so that when that happens, that happens. But right now, it would be a valid gail to be able to contract tumma. And then the Gemara's question is, Allah matanan, so why do you learn the Mishnah Masechtas Eivin? Regarding something that is a ruach hayim, that has living breath in it, that where Rabbi Huda, he says, I don't care if it's an animal, it still will be able to contract tumma, because in the function of a goyel, of a cover of a coffin. However, Meir says it's going to be tahar. Why does he say it's tahar? It shouldn't be tahar. The whole reason why in all these cases where he said it's not going to be a valid partition is only concern that it might shrivel when it dies or might run away, but right now it is a valid wall biblically. So why wouldn't it contract tumah from the goyel? Now Rashi tells us, as a glaring question, what we could have asked from what we had already on the previous daf, asked from the Braisa, where it says clearly, Remeir says, V'loi goyel lekever, that similarly, an animal would not be contracting tumah as a goyel for a kever, but for two reasons we asked from the Mishnah Masechtas Eivin. First of all, a Mishnah is always preferable to ask from, which is stronger in the sense than a Braisa, and also because in the Mishnah it says a more stronger term of metaher, which clearly that he's being lenient. Why is it that Remeir is being lenient if it's only a concern that this might not be valid, in other words, as a stringency, but it shouldn't be a leniency? So the Gemara says, Ella, rather, the Gemara falls off the terutzim of Abai and Reb Zera and says that obviously they cannot be the reason of Remeir because then it wouldn't apply as a leniency for the halacha of a goyel for a kever. Rather, Amar of Acha bar Yaakov, he says a third interpretation of Remeir. He says, K'sav Remeir may have held, kol mechitza she'medis beruach, any partition, any wall that's standing only through air, through a ruach, which means the wind, the spirit of the person or the object that's an animal, ain't a mechitza, that's not considered a partition. In other words, since the main part of this partition is something that has no substance in the sense of halachic partitions, at least. No, everything has particles, but in regards to a wall, although there's ear, there's particles, it's not considered mechitza, and therefore, biblically, this will not be considered mechitza, because it's not a mechitza, it's something that's only really standing through the ear that's inside of it. If it didn't have the ear, this wool, the animal, whatever it is, would not be here. It would be shriveled, it wouldn't be there. And therefore, that applies even to the halach of gail, that an animal, which would be even a leniency, saying that it will not contract the tumah as a gail for a kever, as a cover for the coffin, because since it's not a valid mechitza, because it's only through rachayim, we don't consider it in any case, whether luchum or lukula, as a mechitza. Ikadam, that those that say a fourth version, a different version of Amr of Achabar Yaakov, the Ksever Meir may hold kamechitza she'ina suyu b'dei adam, a slightly different version, that any partition that's not made through a man, through mankind, any mechitza is not a mechitza. And here, the mechitza wasn't made, it's an animal that's already existing, that's not considered a mechitza, has to be something that was man-made. So the Gemara says, my benai, what's the difference between them? Either way, an animal will not be a valid partition. The Gemara says, ikke benai, the difference between them would be, the ukma b'noi tofuach. If the wall was being supported through a wineskin that was blown up. In other words, like a balloon. Lamanda mechitza made this barachin mitzuya, according to the pin that says, that version, that Reb Meir holds that any wall that's standing through or through ear is not a wall, sorry, made this barach. That wall that's through balloon, again, it's still through ear, and that would still be possible. But Lamanda Oma, in that the Adam, according to the one that says the reason why an animal is not a valid mechitza is because it wasn't man-made, because the animal is through itself, that's why it's possible. And then the Gemara continues on to Amud Beis, according to that version, this ear, this wind that is inside this wine flask, this balloon, did come through man-made. He blew it in over there. Therefore, that would be a valid mechitza because it was man-made. And that would be the difference between these two interpretations. In Remeib, what's clear is that it has to be one of the two interpretations, not like a Bayin Reb Zeira, because we find that this halach Remeir, that an animal is not a mechitza, is not just a gzeira, that a concern, because we find it as even as a leniency, as we find by Goyle Kever, it's not going to contract tumah, must be either because it wasn't man-made, or because it's through ear, which is not something that has mamish, that to be a substance, to be considered as a mechitza. Now the Gemara says, I'm a mar. The master says, and it returns to what was said on Daf Chav Gimel and Aleph, when it was quoting the Braisa, this halacha of Reb Meir, that the animal will not be considered a mechitza for all these different things, as a sukkah, as a for a lechif hamava, and the pasim for the berais. So, Mishum Reb Yisrael Glili Amr, the Braisa continues, says that in the name of Reb Yisrael Glili, they said that af, even more so, an animal cannot be used for, that in kaisnim alav giti nashim. Reb Yisrael Glili says that an animal cannot even be used as a divorce document to divorce a woman. That is, he would write the text of what is written on the get, he would write on the animal, give it to her, that's not valid. So the Gemara says, my time of basically, what's the reason why can't you use an animal if you're writing the text on the animal? The time like Linda Bryce, which elaborates this machloikis regarding what Rabbi Yisrael is saying, that an animal cannot be used, versus the other opinions, like that of Remeir, would hold that one could write a get on the living animal. Where there's a pasuk in Devarim that says sefer, which the pasuk says if a kasav la sefer creases, that the husband will write for her, for the wife, a document of separation. Now, ainli el a sefer, I would only know that the get has to be written on parchment, which is what a sefer is, a book, a scroll. Minayin l'rab is called davar. How do you know to include all types of things that you could write a divorce document on? For example, a board of wood or an olive leaf. How do you know that you could write on that too? Tamalay mevakasav law. That's what the pasuk says, that he should write for her, which means mekal malkin, which means in all types of things, because it could have written v'nasin beyad the sefer kriyas. He'll put in her hand a divorce document. Didn't have to write v'kasav law that he'll write for her. Obviously, be giving, that means it was written. Why does it say that? To say that all types of writing will work. It doesn't have to be written just on the sefer. But then the question is imkein matamalay mesefer. So what does the pasuk teach us by saying sefer, which would sound like klaf, parchment, if it doesn't have to be, it could be written on anything? And that, Leimelcha, that comes to tell you, Ma Sefer Davashim by Ruachaim, just like a Sefer, a Klav, is not something that's living, Ve'in Oichel, and it's also not something that's eating. I've called Davashim by Ruachaim also anything that you want to write the divorce document on, it has to be, and this is the support for Birsek Lili, something that's not a living being, Ve'in Oichel, and it's not eating. That's the same idea that we find that basically says you cannot use an animal as a divorce document because cloth is parchment, is already skinned off from the animal. That's a sefer. That's what it teaches you. So although you can write on everything, but it has to be everything similar to the sefer, So the Kasav law is qualifying the Sefer that, but however, it can't be something that's a living thing and that it's an Eichel. Now, once we introduce it, the Gemara continues with this Braisa, which is the Machlaikis regarding that other opinion, because Rabbanon, what about Reb Meir, the other opinions that hold that one could use an animal as a divorce document? They say, because of Bisafer, if it would have been written in the Pasig that he should write for her, because of law, he should write for her Bisafer in a Sefer. So Kadigamrit, then we would agree to you that this Sefer would be qualifying and saying that, although because of law is including everything you could write on, but it has to be similar to a Sefer, which means it has to be like parchment, but not a living thing and not something that's an Eichel. But however, Hashtu Dechsev Sefer, it doesn't say that in the Pasig Bisafer. It says Sefer. Now, that is not a reference to parchment, because actually the pasuk is not talking about what type of item you could write on, which would be if he said bisafer. Rather, it's talking about the words of the divorce document itself, which is teaching us a different halacha. L'sfiris dvarim bi'alma. It's just telling us regarding what the discussion of the words of the get should be saying, which is regards to the types of terms that are written should be separation terms, that the get should be a krisis, a separation for them, huda asa. That's what the pasuk is teaching us. In other words, what should the text say? The text should say words of, it should be a sefer of krisis. It should be sefiras. Again, here in the sense, it's not sefer in the sense of a book, rather in sefiras, in the telling over of krisis. That's what it should be saying over. But you can write on anything, even on a living thing, even on an animal, not like a basic lily. Now, whoever the Gemara asks, or Rabbanan, according to the Rabbanan, in other words, those who argue in Bitzig Lili, now, since this term Sefer is not coming to teach you that it has to be on parchment, in other words, where Bitzig Lili then learned that it can't be a Ruach Chaim, it can't be an animal, because they're saying Sefer is telling you Severus Dvarim Bialma, so then the question becomes, Haiva Kasav, then when it says in the Pasuk that he will write to her, it's not necessary to use that, as Rabbi Yosef Lili did, to teach you that to include everything that you could write on. Because why would I think to say that you would only be write on something specific to have to teach you that everything could be written on? Because you don't have Sefer to teach you, it has to be on the parchment. So therefore, my Darshibe, what did Rabbanan expound from the extra words of a Kasav law? It's not necessary to teach you that, oh, you don't have to write only on the Sefer, you could write on everything, a board of wood or olive leaf, if the Sefer doesn't teach you about, it doesn't say bis Sefer they hold, it says Sefer, which is to talk about the discussion of the get. So why do we need Vikasav law? So now the Gemara says, Hu mibayluhu, they needed to teach you some other halacha. That what does Vikasav teach? It teaches Bechsiv miskareshes. The wife could only be divorced with writing. Vein miskareshes bekesav. She cannot be divorced with money. In other words, if let's say the husband would give the wife and say, here's your money, and through this money you should be divorced, and he'll tell her, Hareyat Megureshes, but you're divorced with this money, just like he tells her with Kedushin when he gets married with her. He says, Hareyat Mukadeshes, but you're becoming betrothed with this. So you'd think he would be able to also say, here you're getting divorced with that. That's what the Pasuk is teaching us, that no, because Savla, that only he could write and divorce her, he can't give her money and divorce her. Because Salkadat Chamina, I would have thought to say, actually you could divorce with money. Why? Hailvi Iskish Yitzil Avaya, the Pasuk equates, compares marriage to divorce. Because it says in the Pasuk Dvarim Chav Dalet, V'yatza mibeisei, that when she gets divorced from him, she will leave his house. V'holcha v'hois l'shachas, she'll go then and get married to another man. So you see in the same context, it says divorce and marriage. So therefore, I would have thought to say that mahavaya, just like marriage, and the reason why it's marriage using the term havaya, is she makes herself with a new husband, where that's possible, bekesev, with money, as the Gemara learns in the beginning of Masechtas Kedushin, kicha kicha from stay Ephron, this is a term of taking, from when Avraham Avinu bought the field of Ephron, which that was with money, so too it says when the husband will take a wife, it says a term of kicha of taking. So just like there it's money, here also is money. So I would think just like by marriage, you can get married through money, afiyatziya bekesev, so too divorce, when she's leaving, could also be with money, because the Pasuk equates them. That's what the Pasuk has to teach you. V'chasav, according to the Rabbanan, that's teaching that no, you can only divorce her with writing, not with money. Now the Gemara asks, Haisvar Minali. So where does Rabbi Yosi Aglili know this halacha that you cannot divorce with money if he really uses up the term V'chasav to tell you that you don't have to divorce just with a sefer, with parchment, you could write on anything? He knows that Misefer Krisis Nafkele. He learns it out from the term when it says in the Pasuk that he should write for her a Sefer Krisis. Now, it says the term Sefer next to the term Krisis, which teaches you that Sefer Karsa, only a book, something that's being written will separate the two of them, will be a divorce. Vein dava achar kersa, but something else will not, which means to say excluding money. Money will not. It has to be a book. Now, that book could be written on all types of items, as long as it's not a ruach haim or an eichel. But however, it's still excluding other items like giving money. It has to be something that was written on. Now, the Gemara has to be idach, but according to Rabbanan, what do they need this term of sefer krisis to teach you? They don't need it to tell you sefer karsa b'in dava achar karsa. In other words, to exclude giving money, because they already know that from b'chasav law, that divorce has to be only through writing, not through something else. So what do they do with sefer krisis? Now the Gemara says, Ahumi boyle. They needed this term in the pasuk of sefer krisis to teach us the following halacha. L'dava hakaris b'inoy l'bina. It has to be a sefer of krisis, of separation, which means to say that this sviras dvarim, which that's how they understand the term sefer, not basef, not bisefer, but rather as some type of what are the words saying, the words have to be saying, the text has to be something that separates the two of them, that there shouldn't be any conditional divorce, which then still binds them together, that she has to keep that condition, or else she's not going to be divorced. Ketan lag lerna b'raisa. If the husband tells his wife when he's divorcing her, he says, look, I'm giving you this get, this divorce document, on the condition that you don't drink wine. Or he says, this will be a get, it's a full-fledged get, look, you can check it out, it's a good get, good divorce document. However, I will only be giving this to you on the condition that you never go to your father's house ever again. On that, the Brisa says, Ein ze krisis, that is not considered a separation, which is what the get actually is, because that means for the rest of her life, she's still bound to him. Now, how is she bound to him? Because of him, she can't do certain things. So she's bound to him through the get, but by virtue of that, she's still connected, and that wasn't a complete severance. It has to be a krisis. And therefore, that's not a get, because she can't go to her father's house and she can't drink wine. However, if he only tells her, Kol Shleishim Yayim, look, for the next 30 days, I don't want you to drink wine, or I don't want you to go to your father's house, then Harizik Krisis, that is a separation, it is a severance, because since at the end of 30 days, then they will be totally separated. So therefore, as Rashi explains, even from now, she's permitted to get married min ha-Torah, maybe Midrabana not, but min ha-Torah, yes, because it is already considered a krisis, because in 30 days, that condition will expire, so it is a total severance with this get. And therefore, that's what they needed with the term sefer krisis to teach you that the sfiras dvarim, what the discussion of the get, what's the text being written, should be krisis, should be total severance, but not if it has conditions attached to it, because then she's still bound to him. Whereas ve'idach, where's Rabbi Yosef Glili know this halacha from, that there can't be any conditions attached to the get forever, because then she's still attached to him, that mikaris krisis nafka, that he learns out, because it could have said that v'kasav la sefer karis, that he should write for her a book that severs, why does it say krisus? That extra pluralism then comes to include this halacha that it can't be any attachment, it has to be total sever. Whereas v'idach, what are the rabbanon? Why do they need this krisus for if they already know it from without saying karis krisus? That the Gemara says karis krisus le'darshi. The Brisa ends up by saying they don't hold of this expounding, this drush of saying that, oh, it could have said karis instead of said krisis. No, the proper usage of the terms are sefer krisus, not sefer karis. And that's why we say krisis, but not that it should come to include two different halachas. And that's how we resolve both opinions. But ultimately, this is the source of Basic Lili, where he says, unlike the Rabbanan, that one cannot use an animal to use as a get, to write on the animal and then give that to his wife, versus the other ones hold that no, that one can use because they don't learn the same term of sefer the way Rabbi Yosef Glili learns it. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing on the theme of the previous Mishnah, which talked about usage of a tree in the context of the halachas of sukkah. So the Mishnah tells us, ha'isis sukkasai bein ha'ilanis. If someone makes his sukkah between the trees, now, however, as Rashi clarifies, he's not using the tree whatsoever in the sense of related to the sukkah. It's on the ground, and then the schach is not being supported by the tree. However, the one thing that he is using the trees for is that the trees are the walls. But again, nothing related to the schach, because then you run into problems about if it's being supported by the tree. That's how the schach is being supported. Then it would be problematic, as we said in the previous Mishnah. And obviously, you can't use the tree itself for the schach itself because that's attached to the ground. However, what we are saying is that the walls are from the trees. And that sure, that's going to be kosher because there's no problem about having walls that they don't have to have the same criteria as schach. That's not makabel tumah. That's something that came from the ground, but that's not attached to the ground anymore. Now the Gemara is going to quote a statement from the Amora that the Gemara is going to ask from our Mishnah on that Amora. So Amar of Acha by Yaakov, he says a general statement in Halachas of Mechitza. He says, Kol Mechitza, she'inichay l'lamed beruach mitzuya, any partition, any wall that wouldn't be able to withstand a regular common wind, which the wind would make it shake back and forth, and a Mechitza, that's not a valid wall. Now that the Gemara asks, Nan, we learned in our Mishnah, Ha'isus hukasli ben ilanis, if someone made his sukkah between the trees, the ilanis divanis la, and what does that mean in the context? It means, and the trees were his walls, shared it's going to be kosher. But the question is, v'ka'azlava'asi, trees are things that sway back and forth. Yet our Mishnah says kosher, but according to Rav Achav Yaakov's qualification of walls, that shouldn't be a valid mechitza because it shakes, and it has to be something that could withstand a ruach mitzuya. So that the Gemara answers, hachamai iskinan b'kashin. We're talking about the hard parts of the tree. In other words, the old, thick trees, those are what our Mishnah was talking about, that using that as walls. That doesn't sway with the wind. It stands in the ruach mitzuya, and that's why we were saying it's valid. But the Gemara asked, but veka noifai, but the branches, which they go back and forth, and sometimes the branches are also part of the wall that we're using from the trees. So how would that be valid, as Rabbi Achav Yaakov said? So the Gemara answered, the avad lei, what we did is that the way to answer the Mishnah is Toma, that he weaved the branches like somewhat of a wall, that it shouldn't move, behutz of a dafna. That is, he tied them together with these palm fronds and these different branches, like straw and all these different things, that therefore it's not going to move. That's why it's valid. You're right. If he didn't tie it together and the branches were the walls, it wouldn't be valid. What we're talking about is that it was tied together with hutz of a dafna, and he weaved it together, which kept it firm, and therefore a regular wind will not shake it. But then the Gemara says, hachem ala mem. So what's the chiddush of our Mishnah then? What's the chiddush? You could use a tree as the walls. Why would you think you can't? If you would say the chiddush would be that it's shaking a little bit, so that would be a chiddush. But Rav Achav Yaakov says that's not a valid wall. Why would you think you can't use trees as walls? On that, the Gemara says, Ma'ad u'teimo, I would have thought to say that you can't use the tree as the walls for a sukkah, because nigzer dama asid lishtamusha be'ilon, that we should make a gzera, because then you might come to use the tree, which you then hang on your, you would hang your kalim there, let's say you're eating your meal, and you hang your becher, or whatever it is that you're using on the tree, which is forbidden to do on Yom Tov. Kamash Mulan, that's what the Chiddush of our Mishnah was telling us, that you're right, it's tied down together with these hutz and medafna, because or else it would be puzzled, like Rav Achav Yaakov said. But however, I would have thought to say that you can't have your walls as a tree because you're inside the sukkah, and then you put something on the wall, which is a tree, and you're not allowed to. Kamash Malan, that's not a problem. We're not concerned for that. And therefore, the walls, as long as we're not supporting the schach, can be the walls of a sukkah. Someone says, Toshim, I come in here from a Bryce, and the Gemara continues to ask similar types of questions of Rechabe Yaakov, giving similar type of answers that it was tied together with Hutzim Adafne. So next question is from a Braisa that says, and this is in the context of Pasi Berois, which we had explained in the previous staff, that what happened was the Oyler Golem had to give their animals to drink, but the wells are Rishus HaYachas because they go more than 10 Tfachim deep. And however, the area around it is Rishus Ram, and we couldn't make walls all around and circle all these wells. So the Chacham gave a leniency in what's called Pasim boards, which are in the context of Diyumdin, which they're like L-shaped brackets, which are like two walls going in either direction. If you do that on four corners, they said that will, if you enclose the wells in that way, we'll consider that area as Rishus HaYachad. So on that, the Braisa says, if Hayisham, if there was over there, and that is one of the corners, instead of being a classic deyumen, which is this L-shaped bracket, you had an ilon, a tree, which it was an amma thick in every direction, oygeder, or a wall, which was an amma squared. Now, generally, a wall means to say that it was made out of brick. Now, Rashi says the reason why it had to be an amma squared was so that you can differentiate it and view it as if it was two different walls, which means you have it considered as if it's an amma going east and the amma going north or south, whichever direction it is, because that's the halacha of the yumid, that it has to be an amma in either direction. Or if, let's say, in one of those corners, you had a wall made out of reeds, Nidin mishum diyomid, and that the Braisa says we'll consider as diyomid, which diyomid is from the term diyomid means two, and amud is the second half. We'll consider as two amudim, which again, as we explained, that's like a wall going one direction and a wall going the other direction in that L-shaped bracket. Which again, as we said, that was a leniency that the Chacham said regarding halachas of pasi b'rais. But the question on Rav Achav Yaakov is: we see that a tree is being viewed as this halachic wall of a pas of this diyomid. Now, a tree is something that shakes, and if it shakes, How could it be valid as a wall, as is the Yomid, if Rav Acham Yaakov says that any mechitza that cannot withstand the Ruach Metzuyah is not considered a mechitza? Again, the Gemara says, Hasam Nami Shum Da Avalei B'Hutzah B'Dafne, gives the same type of answer, that you're right, if the tree wasn't tied down, interwoven with these Hutzah B'Dafne to keep it tied to the trunk, which would make that it wouldn't shake in wind, it would be possible. There it's talking about that it was woven and tied down with these Hutzah B'Dafne, and that's why it's kosher. Tashema. Gemara comes and says, come here again and let's ask a kashan Rechab Yaakov from the following Braisa. The Braisa says, Ilon HaMesach Al Aretz, regarding a tree that's covering over, from Lashon HaMesach, covering over on the ground, which the branches are very, very large. And the branches, they're so long and they weigh down all the way till they cover the ground. Now, the Braisa says, Im Ein Neifu Gevayim In Aretz Shleisha Tvachim, if the branches extend so far down that there is not a distance of three tefachim from the edge of the branches down to the ground, not more than, there's going to be less than three tefachim, where then we qualify with the halacha of lavid, so metal and tachtav, then you could actually carry underneath all those branches, because what we have is that it's a wall that's 10 tefachim high, because these branches are from very high up, so the internal area is covered by mechitz of 10 tefachim high. And since it extends so far down, it's going to come within three tefachim of the ground. We're going to view it as if it's closed off. So it's like this whole entire year of the tree is closed off. Now the question is, am I? Hakazavasi, but the tree, these branches, they sway, they shake. Now that Rav Acham Yaakov said, since it cannot withstand the Ruach Metzuyah, it shouldn't be valid as a mechitza to be able to carry underneath that area. So again, the Gemara says, Hasim Nami, there also is the Avid Leibah Hutzah B'Dafna, that it was made with these palm fronds and with these branches which tied it together. Therefore, it was secure and it would not be shaken in Ruach Metzuyah. That's why it's valid. But now the Gemara asks, based on this, Ihachi, if that's the case, the way we just explained, according to Rav Acham Yaakov, that this halacha of the tree where it's leaning over, that's going to be kosher, is because you made it by hand and you tied it together. Now, it's fit to dwell underneath it. And the purpose of these actually were made that they could watch their fields. Now, therefore, that would qualify for what's called hukuf ladira. It's being surrounded, this tree, although it's man-made, the tree, but you intended now when you tied it together to be able to dwell over there. But then, nitaltel bakule, you should be able to carry throughout the entire area, no matter how large that area of the tree with the branch extending out, which basically is like a oil, it's enclosing the area beneath the tree. No matter how big it is, you should be able to carry in it because it's a classic hook of ladir, it's enclosed for dwelling purposes. And therefore the question is, Alama Amravu in the Bereid of Yeshua, why does he say in qualification of that halacha, that braisa, that a metaltel boy, that one is not allowed to carry beneath those branches that covers all the way, and it comes within three tefachim of the ground. And we continue on top of Chafayim and Aleph, Eloth, the Braisa was only talking about if the only measurement that it maxes out by is if the tree is enclosing an area of Beis Asayim, which a Beis Asayim is the same size of what the Chatzar, the courtyard of the Mishkan was, where this is the measurement that the Chachamim gave for any, what's called Hekev She'en Ladira, any surrounding an area that's not enclosed for dwelling purposes, that if it's larger than that, then the Beis Asayim, actually, you're not going to be able to carry throughout the area, because then we're going to qualify it as a karmelis, which is a rabbinic area which is forbidden to carry in, and only you could carry within four amos, which is always considered the area of a person. Now, the question is, but why? The way we just explained the Kornter of Acham Yaakov in explaining that Braisa, since by hand you went and now you surrounded this area because we had to tie it with the Hutzah Medafna, so even though it's more than Beis Asayim, you should be able to carry in the area because it's Huk of Ladira. You went and enclosed it by hand, making it for dwelling purposes. So why are we considering it like a karmelis? Why is it like Huk of She'en Ladira? Now that the Gemara answers, B'shem Da'avadira Shetash Misheho La'aver. Because although people would sit in it and dwell and to be able to watch the fields, but this is a dwelling that's made for the ear space. In other words, it's only made for the ear that's from without the area to watch the fields. That's not considered a dwelling place which would permit an enclosure no matter how big it is. Because any enclosure which is not really made for within, it's made to then to watch something that's from without, which is those who would watch the fields, which was the only reason no one's living underneath the tree. They only made it some type of enclosure so that they can be protected from the elements, but it's to protect the field. That's Tesh Mishel La'aver for the ear space from without. That is considered Hukav She'en Ladira, and that would only allow up to Beis Asayim, and that's why it's not a contradiction of Rechabei Yaakov, although you did have to tie it down, but it's still considered Hukav She'in Ladira, only up to Beis Asayim. And the Gemara brings one final question on Rav Achabei Yaakov. Tashma, we learn the Braisa. Shavas, if someone spent Shabbos, and that is when Friday night began on the person, he was betel shu gavoy asara. He was on a mound that's 10 tfachim high, and that's where he was what's called kaina shvisa. That's where he acquired his halachic residence for Shabbos. Wherever you are, bebein hashmashas, that's where you're considered your halachic residence. Now, v'hu me'arba amas ad beis asayim. Now, this mound was an area that was larger than four amas, but no more than Beis Asayim. Now, regarding that case, regarding a similar case, regarding a crater that was been there from Sheshes Mebereshit, when the 6 days of creation, Shu Omek Asar, which is 10 Tfachim deep, and V'hu Me'arba Amas Ad Beis Asayim, if it's no less than four amas and no more than Beis Asayim, V'chein, and this third similar case, Kama Kitsura, if there's within the area of the field of the grain, there was standing grain that was already reaped, which makes an empty area. V'shibaylis, and there was the standing grain that's 10 tefachim high, that a makifas oisa that surround this area from around, now, which we said is 10 tefachim high, so regarding all these cases, we said that regarding someone that's on the mound, or someone that's in this crater, or if he's in this field, which is surrounded by the stalks, where they're up to an area of Beis Asayim and not more, because since these areas were not made for dwelling purposes, the mound wasn't, the crater wasn't, it's from Sheshem Evereshes, and neither is this reaping of the grain made for that. So therefore the halacha is, the Braisa says, Mahalach es kula, on the following day, meaning on Shabbos, you're allowed to walk throughout the entire area, V'chutzula alpayim amah, and from without that area, you're allowed to walk up to 2,000 amas. And the reason is because that whole area, whether it be on top of the mound, up to Beis Asayim, or in that crater, or in this field where you have this cutout area, since he was kaina hishvisa in the airspace from before Shabbos, so that entire area, just like a person's house, is considered the dalet amas, the four amas, the four cubic amas of that person's shvisa. Now, Rashi explains the reason why we had to say that it's the minimum is v'hu me'arba amas, is from four amas, is because if it wasn't even dalet amas, if it, let's say it was three amas, it wouldn't be appropriate to say mahalach es kula, that we said that you're allowed to walk the whole entire area, because even if you didn't have these mechitzas, these walls of, let's say, of the different stalks or of the walls of the crater, you'd still be allowed to walk dalet amas, because that's always what's considered the makom shvis of a person. As the pasuk says, shvu ish tachtav, which the Gemara explains, that means that a person always has four amas that he's allowed to go. Now, this that it says that beyond that area, if it's less than Beis Asayim, you can even go another 2,000 amas. That's what's called the Tchum of Shabbos, which is learned out from the Pasuk of Al Yetzi Ishmim Koimai. Person not to leave from his place, where the Rabbanan learn out Makam from Makam and Makam from Nisa, where the Gemara in Erevin explains, which we learn that means up till 2,000 amas. Now, Rashi just clarifies. He says, where do you have Mechitzais, which, since it's not Hukuf Ladira, it allows you up till 2,000, up to Beis Asayim, but that we understand by the case of the crater, and we understand by the case of the stalks, where they're making halachic walls. It wasn't intended for dwelling purposes, so therefore it only allows it to be considered your area up till Beis Asayim. But regarding the mound, where do you have walls that it's being surrounded by? So that Rashi clarifies that since the walls beneath of the mound itself are 10 tefachim high, so then we apply the halachal meshem esina of what's called good asik, that we view the walls extending upward, surrounding the area of the mound. It's as if you're surrounded with walls, and therefore from four amas up to Beis Asayim, we would consider as if you're surrounded by walls, and you'd be able to carry in over there, because although it's not hukuf ladira, but that allows it, as long as if it's an area that's enclosed, up until Beis Asayim, we'd allow it, even though it's not hukuf ladira. Now, this is where the Gemara comes to the question. But afa gavdi ka'azlva asi, one of the three cases is talking about shibaylois makifes, when the stalks are surrounding the area that was already cleared. Now the problem is, those stalks are not things that can be oimid beruach. They don't withstand regular wind. So therefore, how could we say, according to Rav Achabei Yaakov, that one could go ahead and carry up until Beis Asayim because it's surrounded by walls, although it's not hokuf ladira, but up until Beis Asayim we'll say that's okay. But they're not even mechitzos because they do not withstand in regular ruach. And according to Rav Achabei Yaakov, you shouldn't be able to carry more than dalet amos, which is the place of a person. Again, the Gemara concludes, Hasam Nami, the overlay, there it's also talking about that for the walls of the Shibolim, of the standing grain, was tied Behutzav Adafna, where there also he went from stalk to stalk until he tied them together and they were all connected, where they're holding each other, then a wind would not blow it. That's the case of the Brisa that's talking about that it's not going to be contradiction of Rachamei Yaakov, because it's told that it was tied where it doesn't move in a Ruach Metzuyah. Again, similar as we explained our Mishnah, where according to Rachamei Yaakov, although you're allowed to use the tree as the walls for Sukkah, it's only if the branches were tied, Behutzav Adafna, that it doesn't move, Beruach Metzuyah.